In the search of identity, I thought that today I would like to talk to you about identity. Identity, it's a big problem in the Middle East. Who am I? With the rise of media and the big windows of opportunities, the people in the Middle East looking to the West and trying to find out some way to meet East and West. And as a result of that, they are not really knowing who they are. It's a search for identity. I shared a little bit about this man in Oman who has 7 mobile phones, 1 for each day. It's kind of trying to find his identity in the belongings. In Europe, I think identity is an issue as well. You turn on the TV, you find lots of adverts, appealing adverts, pushing really hard. You will not be happy until you have this. You don't want to be just a normal guy driving a normal car. You have to have this Citroën car. You have to have this Mercedes-Benz. You have to have this latest mobile phone, or perhaps this iPod. Unless you have that, you are not going to look cool among your friends. Identity. Who am I? Who are you exactly? Well, you maybe answer and say, well, my name is Tom, or my name is Anne. Well, that is fine. That is your name. That's what differentiates you from the others. This is not real you. It's part of you, but it's not the real you. So who are you? You maybe say that I'm a doctor, I'm a teacher, I'm a student. Well, fine. That's your function. But this is not the real you. Statistics say that a big percentage of people dies in the first 5 years after they retired. Why? Because they take their values, their identity in what they are doing. We too in the Christian ministry many times take our identity of what we are doing. I was talking with a friend and they said to me, well, we cannot say that to our colleague because that project is his baby. That project is his thing. And suddenly, these little things, these little projects, these little titles identifies us instead of we identifies them. Who are you? In the Middle East, a very common answer to that would say, well, I'm the son of such and such. Or I came from the family of such and such. Fair enough. You take your value, you take your name, your importance from your people, from your family, from your parents. But if we take all of these away, what would you say about yourself? Who are you? Who am I? Well, King David knew this. And you know what was his answer? It's very interesting. He said, I have settled and quietened my soul like a weaned child with its mother, like a weaned child, my soul within me. Why would King David call himself a child? I believe he wanted to be excited by God. You know, when you have a toddler or a 3-year-old boy and walking with him in the street, he cannot say sentence or words, only ah, ah, and suddenly with his mother, I noticed them in the street, he lift his hand, say, ah, I discovered something new, ah, I found something new, mom, I'm very excited about this, mom, I started to know this thing is walking, what is it? And the mother would say, this is a car, or this is a bus. He said, bus? And the boy started to learn, started to explore what's going on around him. King David did the same. Unfortunately, in Britain here, it's usually cloudy, rainy. You don't see the sun. You don't see the stars. But yesterday was an interesting night. Yesterday, it was a very starry night. And Michael reminded me that, he said that it's the eclipse. Have you seen it? Very excited, took me out and took his camera and started to take shots. And I looked there, and it was beautiful. We don't see much of these, I know, because of the weather here. But in the Middle East, it is very common. I used to go to the roof of our building, lay down on my back, and just stare at the skies. And you see millions of stars. And you start to make shapes from these stars. You know these dots when you try to link them together and they become like shapes? It's exactly like a child. This is what King David said at the beginning of this psalm. Oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. He's excited about discovering new things as he look at the sky, as he look at the stars, as he look at the moon and reflect on these beauties. How are they made? How these stars so twinkling like that? Isn't that beautiful? Yes. He has no doubt who made them. He has no doubt whatsoever that it is God who called each star by its name. A few weeks ago, we were watching the news in France, and the French were very excited about a new project. It's a humongous telescope are going to be launched. It's in between Switzerland and France, and basically it's so huge that they have to dig tunnels under the ground to put it there. And in the interview, one of the scientists said that, well, we are very excited about that. You know why? Because we don't know anything about the universe. 95% of the universe is from substance completely different than our substance here on Earth. And I was wondering, well, what about the Big Bang theory? What about that the Earth was a star who cooled down and suddenly everything, whoosh, happened. No, there is no such a thing called that. David here, it says that heaven and earth, stars, moon, everything is created by you. How wonderful. How wonderful that all of these display the majesty. If this God can create that, what kind of God is he? Yet I wanted to meditate with you on verse 4 to verse 6. Four verbs. Here King David is saying, what is a man? After he glorified God and praised him, after he looked at this awesome God and what he has done, every 3 years perhaps you have eclipse, full eclipse, half eclipse. You have stars here, you have stars there. People started in the Arab world to draw maps based on stars. Now he's looking and saying, what is a man? What is a man that you are, what? Mindful of him. This is the first one. You are mindful of him. Do you know that God in heaven is thinking constantly of you? When I start thinking of that concept, there is nothing I can do that God does not know about. Many Muslim people believe that if something wrong is happening, it's because God's punishment. I'm sure that sometimes when things go wrong, we say, why? As if God is a harsh master waiting with a rod to beat us up. But this is not true. God is from the morning, from the moment you get up, he's thinking of you. What can I do to excite them tomorrow? Perhaps the cup of coffee will be hot enough so that they can enjoy it. Perhaps I could be with them in the road to protect them as they go to their work. What kind of verse that I would like to encourage them as they read their Bible today? What kind of strength that I can give to them through other people as they meet? What kind of a rose that I can put in their way as they go to work to find out and they will be blessed? What kind of a starry night that I can show them? What about a lovely sunset? What about a warm weather? God is constantly thinking of you. He knows everything going through your weary mind and your anxious heart. And God, Holy Spirit, wanted to come to give you rest, to give you peace. Jesus Christ himself, when he saw the multitudes, the Bible tells us that he saw them and they were harassed, helpless, like a sheep without shepherd. He said to them, "Come to me and I will give you rest. Come to me and I will give you rest." Algerian man wrote to us and he said, "Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim." This is the Islamic greeting. "By the name of God, the merciful, the gracious." He said, "I was going through a difficult time in my life. And then one day I met with a Christian friend who said to me something very simple. He said, 'Bring this problem before Christ. Pray in the name of Christ.' I didn't know what to do. I thought, I'm not going to lose anything. I prayed in the name of Christ, and surprise, surprise, my problem is gone. I wanted to write to you to tell you that I wanted to know more about Christ." God is mindful of you. He thinks of you constantly. He wanted to bless you. He wanted to give you hope and future. He is the great creator. When we look at the creation account in Genesis, at the end of each day in the creation, God said, "And it was good." Until he came to creating mankind. And it was very good. Very good. As a father or as a mother, when you started to see your newborn baby, you are excited about him or about her. You are looking at them and they see the beauty personified. Right? Yes. Say yes, please. It is the same with God. We are his workmanship. We are the people who created on his own image. He took time. He thought about it before he created Maggot. He took time before he created you. He thought of you and very carefully carved you. God is thinking of you constantly. And because we are created on the image of God, our identity is to be linked directly to him. We need to think of that concept. Where do you take your identity from? Is it from what you do? Is it from what you have? Is it from what exactly? The second verb, or the second thing that God is about us, David mentioned here, and he said that you care for him. So we have seen that you are mindful of him, the Son of Man, that you care for him. It's not very clear in the NIV, but in the Arabic, which is very close to the Hebrew, we use the verb kabad in Hebrew, and that is to visit, that is to seek, to look after. God, the Almighty God, visits man. Yes, God humbled himself and came to our land, our earth. Christ came. John writes and said, and the Word became flesh and he made his dwelling among us. He came to visit us. A few years ago, I went to Algeria. I was in Oran. When I arrived, it was the first time for me. I was waiting to see who's waiting to take me to the conference center. They were late. So I had to stand there for half an hour just watching. Dusty roads and people going, passing by me, and no one is looking at this stranger who's standing there. And I started to get worried, but eventually my lift came. 2 days through the conference, and while we were going out, I noticed something very strange. Many, many people with brushes and painted paintings. They're brushing the roads, they're painting green and white, the pavement, and it's amazingly everything sparkling clean. So I asked, what's happening? Oh, the president, Bouteflika, is coming to visit. Yes, but I came to visit 2 days ago. Nobody cared about me. Who are you? Anyway, no, but when the president is coming, there's something completely different. His picture all over the place, flags everywhere. And now here we have the king of the universe coming to our earth to visit us. And he could not find a place to be born apart from a stable. He humbled himself. He came. Why did he do that? Why did he come to visit us? Well, because he loved us. He wanted to fix the corruption that went into our human race. He came to save us. God was very capable of wiping whole mankind with one word and start again, start afresh. Why did he do that? Well, the Bible tells us, when we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Why? Because he loved us. He redeemed us. He bought us back to himself, not with gold or silver, but with his precious blood. This is why our identity, our value, is infinite. Because it's equal, the infinite value of the precious blood of Jesus Christ. This is why we need to think of him who came to visit us to give us life and life abundant. Thirdly, David talks here and says that you crowned him with glory and honor. After God has thought of us, after he had came to visit us and to redeem us, John writes in the last book in the Revelation to say, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and has made us to be a kingdom of priests to serve his God the Father. Have you ever thought of yourself as a king, a queen, a prince? Remarkable thinking. To know that you can have anything you want, you can enjoy a very high status, you can have whatever you desire. We are kings and priests in Christ. Do you remember the parable that Jesus gave in Luke 15, the parable of the lost son? He came back to his senses. I went to acknowledge to his father that he had sinned against him. He wanted the father to consider him as one of the slaves. What did the father do? He kissed him. This man who was sitting with the pigs, perhaps his smell would be smelled from miles, yet the father didn't mind. He put a shoes in his feet, a sign that he's not a slave anymore. He put a ring in his finger, a sign that he is a man with authority. This is what the Lord Jesus has done to us. Jesus said to the believer, ask and you will receive, so that your joy will be complete. How is that? When God is the master of your life, you become the master of everything. This is why he wrote, David wrote and said that you made him ruler over the over the works of your hands. God is mindful of us. He visits us. He cares for us. And he crowned us with honor and glory. He has written us in the book of lives. Yet lastly, he put everything under his feet. God is training us to do the work he put before us. Paul, the apostle, had a strong sense of purpose in life. He's not there by chance. You are not here on this earth and this world by accident. There is something for you. So he said that we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good work. But he did not finish. Let's continue the rest of the verse in Ephesians 2, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We sometimes struggle. I must do something. This is my thing. But actually, God has created good works for us. And it's not by accident that you come across this good work. He had actually prepared it from the beginning for you and for me. God is the one who cares for us. He's the one who leads us. He's the one who provides for us. He's the one who wanted to free us from any things that captive us. He wanted to set us free to worship him, to enjoy the freedom in him as being children of God. Before I finish, I wanted to ask, what kind of good works do you think God has created for you? Let's put it in a spiritual way. When was the last time you shared the good news with someone? When was the last time you helped someone in a practical way? Or perhaps, when was the last time that you have encouraged someone to walk in the Christian faith? I know many of you have done that to me and to John today, and I'm very thankful to the Lord for that. And at the end of the psalm, after David being meditating and all of these things that God is doing in him and for him, thinking of him the whole day, caring for him and visiting him, providing salvation free of charge, although it charged, it cost God the life of Jesus, and crowned him with glory, put everything under his feet, created good works from him for the beginning, David again started to remember, "Oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name." This is something to be thankful for. Oh Lord, we thank you for the way we are. There are many things to thank the Lord for, and many things we could be grateful for. Our identity, our place is established. It's not because of anything we can do. It's not because of anything we will do or we must do. It's all has been done in Christ. Just sit down. Think about it. Let God apply it by the Holy Spirit to your life. And then you can understand why would David say that I can let myself, like a little toddler, rest on God.